Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
The minister who says negative things about homosexuality, about gay people, that minister would not be liable under the provisions of this bill. This bill seeks to protect people from conduct that is motivated by bias. It has nothing to do with regard to speech.
Attorney General Eric Holder speaking recently to the Senate Judiciary Committee regarding hate crimes legislation and some concerns that people have raised about this legislation. We're going to be talking for the last 10 minutes of this hour on this Monday afternoon, July the 6th, with Dr. Robert Gagnon about federal hate crimes legislation. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice. Dr. Gagnon, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the Attorney General has tried to allay fears that this would have anything to do with speech. What do you make of his claim?
Well, my problem with his claim is that, it ignores an important point here, which is that this is the first step in getting sexual orientation and gender identity established as special categories in federal law, and that's going to create a whole host of problems. It also ignores the fact that United States Code Title 18 stipulates that whoever commits an offense against the U.S. or aids, abets, counsels, commands, induces, or procures its commission is punishable as a principal. In other words, if you simply aid or counsel or induce somebody into the commission of a crime, if that's so construed by the court, because of your promotion, your opposition to homosexual practice, that you have induced others to commit a crime, then the law stipulates that you shall be held liable as a principal, as if you had committed the crime yourself. So that's not going to be undone by a law like this. And furthermore, the very fact that they put in sexual orientation and gender identity into federal law is going to establish the principle that any opposition to homosexual practice is prejudice. In fact, the law itself states that opposition to these things is prejudice. So automatically, an individual's religious, philosophically credible and loving opposition to homosexual practice will be regarded by the state as prejudice, and that's going to sort of establish the foundation for a whole series of other sexual orientation and gender identity laws that will marginalize Christian belief into the equivalent of racism.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. You're saying, in essence, in kind of layman's terms, that this law, the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, in fact creates a new class, a legal category of victims, and thereby saying that we can limit this to mere assault or any other kind of behavior, as the Attorney General would say, simply cannot be. There is no line drawn in the sand here between behavior and speech.
Yes, in fact, this is sort of, you can use whatever metaphor one wants to use, the camel's nose in the tent, the foot in the door, or simply the Trojan horse that gets within the city walls and makes possible a whole series of legislations against persons who oppose homosexual practice, whether that turns out to be in the future an employment, they say non-discrimination, but turns out to be an employment discrimination bill, or ultimately support of a whole array of federal legislation that makes homosexual unions the equivalent of marriage. All those become established by getting that Trojan horse within the city walls by getting this hate crime bill, so-called, passed. Moreover, there'll be problems even in the implementation of this bill. If you take, for example, let's suppose hypothetically you have a 25-year-old rabid proponent of homosexual practice who gets into an argument with a 70-year-old grandmother, and he calls her a homophobic bigot, and she, in response, says, you're a sexual pervert, and they sort of simultaneously push one another, then the full weight of the federal law comes down only on the 70-year-old grandmother and not at all on the 25-year-old homosexual advocate. Now, I personally don't think that that's fair. The state, in fact, would regard the woman's comment as prejudicial, but not the homosexual activist comment that you're a bigoted homophobe. That would not be regarded as a prejudicial comment. In fact, as a result of this hate crime legislation, it would be regarded as an accurate statement because the hate crime legislation lists opposition to homosexual practice, to sexual orientation and gender identity as prejudice, quite explicitly.
You say that a little thought experiment may help expose one of the things that this hate crimes legislation actually does. If we were to include in the list of orientations, homosexual, bisexual, transgendered, pedophilia, what's your point here?
Exactly. If one wanted to say, let's put under sexual orientation pedophilia or a polysexual or polyamorous orientation, to have sexual intercourse with more than one person concurrently. These are both orientations. Just think of what a law like that, giving a special protective classification for pedophiles or persons who wanted to be in polyamorous unions of three or more partners concurrently. I don't think any of us would want to see these groups of persons elevated to special protective categories that would treat anybody who opposes their behavior as the equivalent of racist. But the example of pedophilia is, I'm not sure how good that example can be for us, because there was actually an attempt to say, well, we exclude pedophilia under the definition of sexual orientation. Representative Stephen King introduced an amendment to that effect in the hate crimes bill in the House to exclude pedophilia from that definition. But if you can believe it, the Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee actually defeated that amendment along party lines, and the vote was 13 to 10. So the Democrats vigorously resisted the notion that you should exclude pedophilia from the definition of sexual orientation that's being specially protected by the hate crimes law.
So it sounds as though if that were the case, then it would still be a crime to be a pedophile and to act upon that orientation. But by excluding it from denying the exclusion, those who are promoting this are wittingly or unwittingly saying, look, we also cannot discriminate in word or activity against pedophiles.
Exactly. I mean, it's appalling, but that is essentially the result of this effort to prevent any amendment that would exclude pedophilia from sexual orientation. And, of course, this goes for transgenderism as well. If a man regards himself as being a woman and he wants to use a restroom that is labeled ladies, ultimately he'll be entitled to do so, because the passage of this hate crimes bill, by establishing a gender identity category in federal law, will make inevitable the other series of laws that will follow protecting gender identity in the workplace, in public venues, etc. There's no way that the sexual orientation protection or gender identity protection is going to be limited to this hate crime legislation. This simply establishes the category. It's their foot in the door. It's their way of saying, hey, we know you're not in favor of hate, so we'll get this passed. Once this gets passed, then you have to pass the whole rest of the series of sexual orientation legislation and gender identity legislation that, in their opinion, eliminates the hate towards these practices that hate crime legislation is supposed to prohibit to begin with.
Dr. Robert Gagnon is Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, author of the book The Bible and Homosexual Practice. He has written some great articles, some fantastic and enlightening articles about hate crimes legislation. You'll find these resources under the on-demand page at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Dr. Gagnon, thank you for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a four-part daily series with one of our favorite guests, Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. We're going to talk about end times teachings. Just yesterday, at the end of a Bible class at the church where I attend and teach, one of the attendees of the Bible class approached me, and we got into, well, I wouldn't call it a debate, but a discussion about some of the end times teachings. He was coming from the dispensational viewpoint. I was coming from an amillennial viewpoint. We'll find out what those are when we begin our series with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger tomorrow on end times teachings and why it matters. Well, I've been on Facebook now for a couple of years. The first year I was on Facebook, I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I discovered there were an awful lot of listeners to Issues Etc. on Facebook. And we know that you're out there. Issues Etc. has a Facebook fan page now. It's another way to connect with Issues Etc., get updates on our big interviews and the topics that we cover. And also, you can see pictures there. You can see, by the way, that what those who celebrated the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. with us this last week got to see. See some of those pictures, who is in attendance, as well as the guests that we have here in studio. We try and have it all there at our Facebook fan page, www.facebook.com. Sign up and become a fan of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.